Hello, and welcome to Original Lines, where we talk to original people with original ideas about the creative life. Today, we're talking with Seattle pop artist Matthew Brennan IV. Matt received his BFA in 2001 and moved to Seattle shortly after. He's been working as an artist and designer off and on for nearly two decades. He is the mastermind behind Two Things, which since its inception in 2015 has quickly become a Seattle icon. Hi, Matt, and welcome to the show.
Hi, how's it going?
It's good, good. So Two Things.
Two Things is basically what I do is customized pop art. People come to me and they commission original acrylic paintings where they give me two pieces of pop culture. Really, it's kind of opened up to almost two of anything outside of portraiture. And I mash them up into a custom painting for them. And then I keep the cost of those original paintings pretty low and affordable for people by reselling the images as prints after the paintings are done.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. So how did you come up with this idea?
You know, I've been doing painting on the side of, you know, work the 40 hours at the day job and then put in the extra 20 hours in the studio and making all these paintings. And then, you know, it was like the artist model where you make the stuff and then you try to sell it to people. And I got kind of frustrated with how that always worked and never being able to actually do it full time. So when I decided to go out on my own, I said, okay, what can I paint that I know people will want to put on their walls? Just anybody, not necessarily art buyers. And how can I also have it that it will stay interesting to me so that I'm not getting bored and I'm constantly challenging myself to make the paintings? So I kind of came up with this idea. I mean, there's lots of people doing mashup paintings, but my kind of spin on it was a little bit different. And so far, it's been great. I'm about to hit 3 years and 100 paintings officially under the Two Things banner. And it never gets boring. Someone always brings something completely different I have to work out in my head.
Yeah. So what kind of things, like, what are like some of the wildest combinations that you've done?
It's the best is that, yeah, every time I think, okay, I've been there, done that to everything. Someone like did the moon and a hypothalamus gland, you know, like that, or taxi cab confessions and dessert, you know, like it could be food. It could be a place. It could be, I have, an actual artist I knew from college who commissioned one of, a red tie and a flag. And like it was, you know, kind of an anti-Trump sort of message. But it was interesting to think of just these two iconic images and then putting those together rather than Bill Murray and Chinese food or whatever.
Right. What's your favorite that you've done so far?
Oh, man, it's hard, you know, especially because I do so many. It's like I like ones for certain ones. I think probably my most popular ones, you know, like Taco Bell Last Supper was really fun to do.
Yep.
But some of them are the ones that I feel like unappreciated. And so like they're my stepchildren or whatever, It's hard to say, but if how much that factors in. I have one that's doesn't sell very well, but it's Singing in the Rain in San Francisco. And I'm just really happy with how the painting came out from a technical standpoint. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a weird one. trying to pick.
So was your background in painting? I mean, you got a BFA. Was it painting or was it design?
I was painting, but I was making these big like painting installations. Like the painting would be an 8-foot by 10-foot wall piece, canvas, but then it would come off the wall and like take over the room. And so a lot of stuff that's really not financially feasible for anybody. Right. Nobody's gonna say, oh, I've got an extra room in my house for this giant thing.
Right. You know? So cool. So you worked a little while as a paralegal too, and then just kind of the painting has taken over. You're able to pretty much paint all the time now.
Yep. That's what I do.
That's good.
You know, it's a constant hustle and scramble for, you know, rent check every month, but it's been good. Patron has been really good to me too. I really like that system. Mm-hmm. On top of, you know, I get really busy on Christmas and during the summer. And then Patron helps level that out. If any artist is thinking about it, it's a great avenue.
Yeah, I know a couple of people that use it. the commission model, it does seem like that's, so you work, do you work all on commission now, or do you do your own paintings at all? Or is it pretty much just straight commission?
It's mostly commission. I do like a series of paintings for traveling around to, like, you know, coffee shops and bars and just public venues and galleries and stuff like that, where it kind of just goes and set up, and there's a little explanation what two things is, and it just kind of shows people these are the possibilities, because usually people just need a little kickstart to get what it is, and then they're like, oh
yeah,
I've come from New Orleans and I love candy bars, so you know,
New Orleans and Snickers or something, that'd be awesome. Is it usually, I mean, some people work on commission, they say it's, you know, they have a harder time working with clients than others. Do you find it hard working with clients, or is that something that's kind of comes natural to you?
It comes pretty natural. I think part of it is most of the people who buy my paintings are, this is their first original art purchase ever. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of not bossy or pushy.
Right.
You know, a lot of them come to me with like maybe a vague idea what they want. And I also do, I get them like 2 to 3 different sketches on different ways to combine them.
Oh, cool.
I try to make them like apples and oranges, like combine it one way with one focus, combine it the other way with one focus, and then just one bananas one. And so there's a lot of input from them at that stage. I also get them a picture when it's about 90% done. Says like, is there anything that's, you know, an issue or a problem?
Oh, that's cool. So they're involved in the whole process.
Yeah.
That's good. That would be, especially for first time buyers, that'd be a kind of a super way to get involved in collecting art.
Yeah. And most of them really just kind of go with the flow. But I think having that, you know, feeling of like, this is mine, that ownership of it, kind of makes the people really happy with what they get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long does it usually take you from beginning, like when you get a commission, to finish? Is that?
It's so dependent on the person and how like they work, because some people will take a while, or they'll, you know, be thinking about things for a while. But if someone's real like on the gun, they get me the deposit, we have a sales agreement, I can get them 2 sketches probably within a week. And then like if they get right back and they know exactly what they want, then it's probably 2 weeks after that. So 3 weeks, probably about a month turnaround. Most of them end up taking more like 2 months, just because there's more back and forth on things.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, it also depends how I'm busy. Like if it's Christmas time and I got orders lined up, then you're going to go where it goes.
So if you want a Christmas gift, it's best to like catch you in October, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, maybe September, maybe right now. So what does a typical day look like for you? Do you have a set schedule? Do you work at set hours? Do you try to come to the studio and do that? Or what does that look like?
Yeah, it's I try to get in probably 5 days a week into the studio and just painting. You know, so much of owning your own business like takes over that, which was the big rude awakening of going full time into art, is that, you know, you have so much other things that you have to do with the social media work and, accounting and, you know, making sure all your stuff is filed with the state. So I probably have at least a day, maybe two, of like work from home just on all the boring stuff a week. I tried to do to like force myself into the 9-to-5 when I first started. Uh-huh. And then I realized when you're working for yourself, like you have to maximize your like potential, like your, when you're most active. So I started like listening to what my body says, and I'm actually way more productive between the hours of like 9 p.m. and 2 a.m. So
oh, cool.
I kind of go with that and do big long days, and or, you know, if I get everything done, I'll leave early. But yeah, I'm in here almost all the time, I feel like.
That's good. That's got to be a good feeling, though, to have the next piece of work there to go to, for the most part. I mean, sometimes if you're not doing the commission or whatever, if you just or you're not working to a show or something, you can get in the studio and be like, okay, the next thing I have, but there's too much to choose from. But having that next thing, like, you know what you're gonna do, it's got to be kind of a good feeling in a way.
It's definitely, I mean, honestly, like having that taken off of like that blank page. Uh-huh. I never start with the blank page, because it's always got what the people brought to it, and it makes me so much more productive that way.
Yeah.
For me, it's still the same amount challenging to just even create the image based on these things. It's nice. It really is, just having that push in the beginning.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, a couple years ago, you did, got in on the Betty Page mural, and that was all over the place. That kind of blew up the newspapers and everything. Tell us a little bit about that project and how you got involved.
Well, it's, the people that own the house, the Betty Page house, they had, purchased the painting for me before of David Lynch and the Matterhorn ride at Disneyland.
Nice.
And so we already kind of had a little bit of a relationship. They already dug my style. So the Betty Page mural got basically ruined. It was vandalized. People threw a whole bucket of house paint all over the side of their house. There really wasn't any way to remove it, and it had all that texture on there. So they had to try to spray it off. That didn't work, and sand it off, and really was what it was. It was pretty ruined. The owner of the house and his friend had done it originally about 12 years ago now. And the guy he worked with is out of art. He just doesn't do it anymore. So they came to me and they said, well, why don't we turn this into the biggest Two Thangs painting? And I was really excited. We talked about a couple ideas, and they had Divine in there, and I was really stoked about that because I'm a big John Waters fan. And yeah, I got it drawn up. I had to basically redo the whole Betty Page and change it a little bit, and then added Divine to it. Did it all in like 40 hours, hang off the side of a ladder over precariously over blackberry bushes. Somehow did not kill myself.
That's good. Yeah. That's good.
Well, people in traffic are just honking all the time and giving me thumbs up. And I'm just like, well, I appreciate it, but I'm about to die. but it was, I mean, it was a fantastic experience. The neighborhood really loved seeing Betty come back. People would just stop, hang out, watch me paint, and like give me a beer, you know. So it was just a great experience.
Yeah. Well, I know, like I said, I know it's, you had articles and interviews and all sorts of things about that. That captured everybody's imagination. Everybody loved to see Betty come back. So I was going to ask you if you'd had any experience doing any large scale work like that. You say, you know, earlier in college you did, but was that the biggest Two Thangs style mural that you've done?
Yes, for Two Thangs, for sure. I've always kind of worked big before, and I've done like a couple of murals before, but they weren't this style at all. They were like a style that I was working in kind of previously, which is more painterly, more material oriented, and like big aggressive stroke, you know, brush strokes and stuff like that. So this one was, you know, it was a bit different. I feel like the style I'm working in now works pretty well for that, a mural sized, because it's a lot of like flat, bright color, a lot of like real graphic mark making. So it kind of lends itself to that.
Do you have any plans to do anything else large scale like that?
I'm open if the work comes in.
Yeah.
I'm on Four Cultures muralist roster.
Oh, awesome.
But I haven't actually gotten any work from that yet. So yeah. I don't know how, if it, it, you know, I've talked to other people. This is my first time on a muralist roster. And they said, well, you know, you're on it, but it doesn't necessarily mean you ever get anything or get picked. Sometimes you're just on it for the term and then it ends. But I would be definitely excited to do some more big mirror work.
Yeah, it seems like it's a different thing. It's a different challenge in a way, but that much more satisfying because there's this giant painting and everybody, it's public, right? Everybody gets to drive by and everybody gets to see it. It's that's awesome. But
yeah, I have this idea that I've pitched a couple times where what I'd like to do if I get a big mural is find the space where it's going to be, of course, but then spend about a week or two interviewing all the people who work and live around the space where the mural would go, and kind of distill their interests down to two pieces of pop culture. Like, say, what it, you know, just a quick interview with all the people that would actually be looking at this thing every day, and you know, say what makes you happy, what would you enjoy seeing, and then using that to kind of distill down and then build back up into the mashup. But no takers so far.
That would be super. That would be a really cool community project. You should pitch that to West Seattle. I'm in West Seattle and we need something like that.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of mural, like either restoration or replacement projects going. That would be, but anyway. all right. Well, I guess it's about time for us to take a break. So we'll be right back with Matt Brennan.
Hey there. Did you know that you can find Original Lines on both iTunes and Stitcher? So whether you have an iPhone or Android, you can always catch the latest episode. Be sure to subscribe to us, and we love reviews. Thanks.
All right, and we're back with Matt Brennan of Two Things. Okay, Matt, so we just finished talking about the Betty Page mural, and we talked about kind of the way you handle your commissions. Your art tends to be funny. There's humor. There's a lot of humor. And I guess that's kind of the a lot of pop art has humor. But do you feel like art needs to have more humor? Is that just something you feel like belongs in art?
I do. I mean, I definitely earlier at different parts of making stuff, I took it very seriously. You know, I think if you found my artist statement from college, it would, you know, art has to be profound, you know, right. And all that sort of stuff. And so, but when I came to a point later, I realized I'm not really that person. You know, I was trying to be because that's partly what I thought an artist had to be, but mm-hmm. I'm not. And so I'm having fun. In most times when you're taking two things and mashing it up, it's always going to be weird. Mm-hmm. It's always taking things and putting them in different contexts, which is kind of, you know, a lot of the basis of humor. But it does adapt to whoever the person is that gives me. Some people have wanted, like I did a Martin Luther King Jr. and Alvin Ailey, and those, it's more inspirational for the person to look at. So I try to distill what that person is looking for. Right. You know, I knew when someone came with me with Point Break and Drake, they wanted a funny painting. They didn't want, something really profound. But, you know, it's great that people take it in such different directions, and then that leads me to new kind of directions.
Yeah.
So well, there's a long answer for, you know, it'll be funny sometimes. I don't know.
So who else is there anybody else that you admire that's humorous in art? Anybody else who uses humor in a way that you like?
There's Ida Applebrug, and I'm not even sure if they're meant to be funny, but she takes these fable-y kind of imagery, but mm-hmm. changes the context. Like it'll just be a child sleeping in a bed and then a bear holding a rock over its head, you know, uh-huh. It's kind of, it's taking those child, informing this weird narrative out of it. I find them humorous, but I'm not sure that's the specific intent. But I always think they're kind of fun and funny. Yeah.
Yeah. We had a guest recently, Kelly Lyles, here, who's also does, she does paintings that are like visual puns. There was one that was spam and spamster, I think it was like a hamster and spam. You know, she makes visual puns that are, and they're meant to be funny too. And I like her. Pop art and humor, because you definitely fall in the pop art thing, because you use pop culture references and things like that. And I know that humor and pop art don't always overlap. The pop culture, you said you kind of went that direction because you wanted to be more, you know, you wanted to make sure it appealed to people, especially people that weren't necessarily art collectors, and something that worked well with your commission model. Is pop art attractive to you in any other way?
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea of universal languages, mm-hmm. It's always cultural bias because where we grow up informs our pop culture language and things like that. How can we use just the shared cultural knowledge to say other things just by the images? That to me is just really fascinating. So I like using that. I also, you know, I feel like there's this idea in art that to make your point, you want to use imagery that subtracts maybe the enjoyment from a regular person, like to, you know, say this is fine art. You can't just look at it and be happy. You have to, you know, take it in over a long period of time. And I think I try to make my paintings have depth like that, mm-hmm. but I'm also not afraid to just make it of something that someone who's not, say, art literate can enjoy as well.
Right.
And I hope that I make them complex enough that I hope that they kind of come to that appreciation and start looking at art a little deeper after staring at this painting on their wall for a while.
Yeah. Well, I was literature first before I went into fine art. And I don't know if you've ever read any Terry Pratchett. Terry Pratchett, Discworld novels. He's a British writer who just passed away, but he's the funniest writer you'll ever read. And there were comparisons with Terry Pratchett and William Shakespeare made all his life. He even got a knighthood and all this stuff. but it's because they both appeal to all levels. They would start out and there's this humor that anybody gets. And that's like, you listen to a Shakespeare, especially a comedy, and there's this like body humor, you know, there's like fart jokes. There's like the whole, you know, all the way through. But then if you keep looking, there's that next layer of complexity. And then there's that next layer of complexity, that next layer. I like the idea of art being that way too.
Yeah. And I mean, I appreciate the other two, very much so, but, I don't think it all has to be that way. And for me, I think I found that the stuff I make eventually doesn't go that way. It's, I like making things that are just, also accessible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you also recently did a coloring book, right?
Yeah.
Just what was that about?
So I, you know, as a businessman, as an entrepreneur, I always try to use every single thing. So I'm making 2 to 3 sketches for every single painting.
Right.
Sometimes maybe my favorite one doesn't even get picked, but so I take all those extra sketches and then turn them into coloring books that's done. Yeah.
And I read an article that said that, you know, they're mainly geared to adults, but kids like them too.
Is that
yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing is most of the people, I have gotten some orders for kids, which is always pretty fun. I think I put a little extra work on the complexity for the paintings I do for kids, just because I had Starry Night hanging in my room ever since I was a baby. I do think that kind of affected me having, instead of just like a print of, you know, Elmo or something like that.
Right.
I had, you know, that I was looking at, and I think that shaped me. So I'm always excited when people get stuff for kids, but for the most part, it's adults. And so when I said okay for kids too, it's like, there's nothing bad in there, but a little kid's not going to know who Louis Armstrong is, you know, they're just going to be like, who is this guy? You know?
But I mean, I think you shouldn't just put Elmo in front of them. You should put Louis Armstrong in front of them.
Yeah.
And then they're like, who the heck is this? And then maybe like 5 or 10% of them will go out of their way and go see who's, they'll go to the encyclopedia or they get on the internet and who's Louis Armstrong. And then, but yeah, were you artistic as a child?
I was always inclined towards art, but I was like completely bereft of talent.
that's odd because you're not now.
Well, yeah, I started out, my parents tell me that I would, for like probably till I was 6 or 7, I was always drawing, but it was always explosions. It was just, you know, that big scribble in the middle, and it was like a Cy Twombly or something like that. But then I got to, you know, high school, I was still always drawing, but I was that kid that, you know, you'd go, oh, come over and look at what you're drawing. You know, people just walk away. I just wasn't, the skill didn't translate necessarily. And when I got to college, I had my first, drawing studio one, I had my first mid-semester critique and my professor told me I should quit art. I wasn't going to make it and I should maybe try film or something like that. And it kind of like, it was that moment where you either go A or B, you either do what that person says and go a different direction, or I doubled down and I kind of doubled down. I just started going to classes I wasn't even in, you know, doing 4 or 5 life drawing studios a week and just like really honing my skill.
Yeah.
And then by the time I graduated, that guy was like clamoring to take credit.
Yeah. Well, skill, I think, here we go. Here's another opinion about small children. I think children should be taught to draw. I mean, they've gotten where they've pulled almost all the art out of here. One of our guests was telling me that here in Seattle, apparently in the schools, you either have music or you have art. You don't have both.
What?
Yeah. In any of the schools, it's like, what? I mean, drawing is a skill that you can teach.
Yeah.
And just like math or whatever, it has uses. I mean, basic perspective and stuff like that. I mean, there's no reason not to teach that to children. It's good. It's hand-eye coordination. It has so many uses. But anyway, that's my rant.
I agree 100%. And I just, I know my art teachers in high school were not very good.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of like not teaching fundamentals or getting people interested. Not even fundamentals of creative thinking, besides the fundamentals of, you know, life drawing and things like that.
Right.
It's easy to see why people can say, like, why don't we cut this? Because people aren't getting, and I think it's, I don't know, at least for me, I didn't have anyone to push me.
Right.
But yeah, it is such an important thing. I mean, I think of the way my art education, getting that BFA, is just a slip of paper that really opens no doors the rest of your life. But my education on like learning critical thinking, learning creative thinking, all the stuff that I, the skills I gained for that, that I was even able to apply to become a good paralegal, you know, the ability to take criticism in and shape it, which I don't see almost any other college course background that gives you that ability,
right,
to really take things in, let them shape you, you know, listen, but then react, take it in and follow it, or take it in and do the opposite, you know.
Right.
It's important. And I don't think, yeah, enough people get that.
I agree wholeheartedly. That was the biggest thing I think I got out of art school, was the critique, the ability to take critique on something that before was so personal, right?
Yeah.
It's something that's like, you're making this thing like right now, there's no revision or whatever, but take the criticism on it. And then, like you say, do it. A lot of it gets dumped in the bin, right?
Yeah.
But some of it you use or whatever.
I'll even say that when I did the mural, there were, you know, you never read the comments, especially when you get a big thing like that and you're in a bunch of publications. And I did a little bit, and I stopped myself because it will just drive you crazy. And I did get, but I even got knuckleheads coming all the way like to my page that would search me out to find me and then write something really stupid, you know. But there's even this one guy, and he just wrote a paragraph of gross, stupid things. But then at the end, and he's like, "And what's with that hand on Divine? It looks like a paw." And so like I thought about it, and I realized I'd forgotten the foreshortening lines on her finger.
Oh.
So like, here's this complete idiot who doesn't know what he's talking about, but he had a valid critique down at the very end of it.
Nice.
And I took it and I went back there and put in the little perspective lines on the fingers that she's kind of clawing with. And it was a nice reminder of like, okay, got you. It hurts and it's stupid, but you got to listen to everybody.
Yeah. So how does that translate into like your entrepreneurial side? Because it seems like the entrepreneurial thing is just as creative in some ways.
Yeah.
In a different way, but I mean, just as creative.
That's definitely, you know, it was a thought to like, okay, I'm going to take my creative thinking on like that I focus on the actual painting and say like, well, I want to apply that to a business model and make not go the same path that I see a lot of people taking and kind of carve out my own little path within it and make it sustainable and feasible. But yeah, I mean, the thing is there is a lot of opportunity for everybody out there to do that too, I think, is like, don't just take it. Like, look at what's available. Like the abundance of being able to get easy digital prints, and people are buying art prints more than they're buying paintings. And, you know, apply your creative thinking to that and say, how can I turn this into a business?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you have one, that was some advice right there, but if you have one other piece of advice to give like young people who think they want to go into fine art, what would you say to them?
Advice is really like shortcuts.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes taking the long path is really the only way to get there, you know? So it's always kind of like, I know there are things that I would have told the young me, and then that young me would probably have said like, whatever, and then just done the exact same thing because that's the only way to get there. I don't know. I would always say like, have high goals, but never be afraid to pivot. So like, you know, hold yourself to a high standard to make yourself self-motivated and to get there, but when there are opportunities, never be afraid to pivot off of that goal, you know, and then maybe choose a different path. Because if you close yourself off to those, then it's like that high goal ends up just being a lottery ticket that you may never win. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Let me ask you, where can we find out more about your work?
You can find me, my webpage is www.twothangs.com, THANGS. I'm also on all the Facebook, Instagram. I'm also on Patreon, and I really love that. Yeah.
Okay.
That's me.
All right. Well, this has been really super talking to you. Thank you very much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Okay. And this has been Laura Allen for Original Lines. And we're glad that you were here with us today. Yeah.
Thank you.